Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, January 5th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Well, you can see the creeping crud has attacked Upland Bible Church. You're the ones that have, you're faster than the creeping crud, that's all there is. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, sir, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So it's very important when you're living in times that we're living in, that you keep a sense of humor. If you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you have a sense of humor. You're able to laugh, and you're able to laugh at yourself, not necessarily laughing at others. This comes by way of one of my deacons. We've reached that age where, and he ought to know because he's really up there, let me see. Age 60 might be the new 40. But 9 p.m. is the new midnight. It's the start of a brand new day, and I'm off like a herd of turtles, or a turd of hurdles. The older I get, the earlier it gets late. When I say the other day, I could be referring to any time between yesterday and 15 years ago. I remember being able to stand up without making sound effects. Remember, if you lose a sock in the dryer, it comes back as a Tupperware lid that doesn't fit any of your containers. When you ask me, what am I doing today, and I say nothing, it does not mean I am free. It means I am doing nothing. When you do squats, are your knees supposed to sound like a goat chewing on an aluminum can stuffed with celery? When I ask for directions, please do not use words like east. And don't bother walking a mile in my shoes. That would be boring. Spend 30 seconds in my head. That'll freak you right out. My luck is like a bald guy who just won a comb. Charlie, did you win a comb? Ah, yes. These are the times where the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills has a great, great sense of humor, regardless of what is going on. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we just got started. Verses 1 and 2 sound like this: "For I reached this decision with myself in my soul, not to come face to face with you again with sorrow or mental pain and pressure. For if I repeatedly irritate you, cause you pain through my tough love teaching, who then will cheer me up? But the ones who were irritated by me? I don't think so. No way. The content of Paul's teaching is going to cause irritation and pain for many of the believers in Corinth. He's going to have to rebuke them and chew them out, brace them. He's going to have to discipline them. Now, every communicator of the Word of God has been given spiritual authority. The Apostle Paul was an apostle, and he had authority, spiritual authority, over all the churches. The pastor teacher has spiritual authority over one local church. Paul is going to have to exercise his spiritual authority. He knows that. And he's going to have to teach them with tough virtue love. So Paul says, I'm going to have to chew you out. And then you will become mad and sore. And that's definitely not relaxing for me either. The worst situation for communicating Bible doctrine is an antagonistic congregation. When congregations are arrogant, when congregations have no humility, when congregations fail to orient to grace, or are full of mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, well, the communicator of the Word of God suffers as well. But Paul has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Paul is a spiritually mature believer. The problem's not with Paul. The problem is with the believers in Corinth. The Apostle Paul is a spiritually mature believer. He's had virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has personal love for God the Father. And because he has personal love for God the Father, that motivates impersonal love for all the believers in Corinth. All of them. And most of them are living in the cosmic system, in interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. They're functioning in evil and arrogance and mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. And Paul loves them all with impersonal love. And he knows that many of these believers are on the verge of the sin unto death. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, many of them died the sin unto death. They were coming to the Lord's table, living in the cosmic system. And Paul warns them, he says, some of you are in warning discipline, some intensive discipline, and some of you have gone through dying discipline. And he doesn't want to see them fall off the cliff and crash and burn. And so, exercising his authority, he's going to warn them. You need to come to your senses. You need to rebound. You need to get back into fellowship with God and the filling of the Spirit and your spiritual life. You got to get out of the cosmic system and into the spiritual life and start growing. Advance, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you don't, you're going to crash and burn. He doesn't want to see that. He doesn't want to see these believers crash and burn. He loves them with virtue love. And then in verse 3, and I wrote, this 2 Corinthians, for this very reason, so that when I come, I should not have pain of mind or soul distress from the ones who ought to make me rejoice. Though I have confidence in all of you that my happiness, which Paul sharing the happiness of God, Paul is occupied with Jesus Christ, Paul shares the happiness of God. Though I have confidence in all of you that my joy will be the joy of you all. He's going to have to teach them with tough virtue love, but he believes they're going to come to their senses, respond, rebound, get out of the cosmic system, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and they will also have this happiness. So, one, Paul knows that the congregations, and his many congregations, there are more than one church. Corinth was a huge city. We know from 1 Corinthians 14:34 that there are many local churches when he's writing to Corinth. And Paul knows that the congregations, plural, in Corinth, they need a major attitude adjustment. He knows that. And that's why the Apostle Paul was the perfect communicator to teach 1 Corinthians and the perfect communicator to teach 2 Corinthians. Two, to come to Corinth and have to exercise his spiritual authority in discipline, rebuke, would be painful for not only the Corinthians, but for the Apostle Paul as well. To come to Corinth and have to exercise his spiritual authority in chewing them out face to face with exercising his discipline and rebuke would be painful for Paul and the Corinthians. Three, so Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. He wrote 2 Corinthians to do his bracing and chewing out in a non-face-to-face situation. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians so that he, to do his chewing out, exercising his spiritual authority in a non-face-to-face situation. And he's, that way he can clear the air. Four, Paul is confident that 2 Corinthians will cause the believers in Corinth to come to their senses. He is confident that 2 Corinthians will cause the believers in Corinth to come to their senses, to rebound, to get back into fellowship with God, and then to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He knows this is exactly what they need, but then this is exactly what a lot of Christians today in America need. 2 Corinthians. So Paul is confident that 2 Corinthians will cause the believers in Corinth to come to their senses, to rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and then live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. 5, Paul is confident that by their consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, they will have the same inner happiness that Paul has. Paul is confident that by their consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, they will have the same inner happiness that Paul has. Six, Paul knows that maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart results in occupation with Jesus Christ and sharing the happiness of God. That's why he's telling them, I'm going to have to teach you with tough virtue love. We have to exercise spiritual authority. I'm going to do it from afar so I can be tough and clear the air. But I also have confidence that you will respond, get back into fellowship with God, and advance to spiritual maturity. 7, Paul is confident that the doctrine communicated to them in 2 Corinthians will result in their spiritual growth, having virtue love brought to completion in their heart, occupation with Jesus Christ, and sharing the happiness of God. Paul is confident that the doctrine communicated to them in 2 Corinthians will result in virtue love brought to completion in their heart, occupation with Jesus Christ, and sharing the happiness of God. For I reached this decision with myself and my soul not to come face to face with you again with sorrow, mental pain, and pressure. For if I repeatedly irritate you, cause you pain through my tough love teaching, who then will cheer me up? But the ones who were irritated by me? No way, Jose. That'll never happen. And I wrote 2 Corinthians for this very reason, so that when I come, I should not have pain of mind, soul distress from the ones who ought to make me rejoice. Though I have confidence in all of you that my happiness will be the happiness of you all. All right, now verse 4. In verse 4, Paul's virtue love for all the believers in Corinth. Paul loves them all with virtue love. They don't love Paul. All of them don't love Paul with virtue love. In fact, many of them hate Paul. Many of them malign Paul, slander Paul, judge Paul, have mental attitude sin toward Paul. But Paul has virtue love for all of them. So here we have Paul's virtue love for all the believers in Corinth. For out of much affliction, this is the post-positive conjunction gar plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of philipsis, modified by the genitive singular of the adjective polus. The postpositive conjunction gar looks like this. The postpositive conjunction is an illative gar. The illative use of gar introduces a reason. It's correctly translated for. It introduces the reason why Paul wrote 2 Corinthians rather than coming to them face to face and have to rebuke them with tough virtue love face to face. And then the preposition ek looks like that in the Greek and English, and this means out of. And then phlipsis. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. Phlipsis. In extra-biblical Greek, phlipsis literally means pressing or pressure. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew script, the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures, and in the New Testament, it's used figuratively and means oppression or affliction or intense personal suffering. So, one, phlipsis is pressure and intense suffering that is brought about by outward circumstances. Pressure and intense suffering that is brought about by outward circumstances. Two, this is intense suffering for blessing that only the believer in spiritual adulthood is qualified to receive. Paul is receiving suffering for blessing. Paul is a spiritually mature believer, and he has been receiving, as a part of a special blessing package, intense suffering for blessing. So this is intense suffering for blessing that only the believer in spiritual adulthood is qualified to receive. Paul is certainly qualified. He's the spiritually mature believer, the greatest believer of the church age. Three, Paul wrote this epistle during a time of great personal suffering. He wrote this epistle during a time of great personal suffering, but is suffering for blessing. This intense personal suffering is modified by the adjective polus. P-O-L-U-S. Polus. Polus denotes degree, and it means much. It can be translated much or great, or strong, or severe, or hard, or deep, or profound. We're going to translate it great. For out of great personal suffering, suffering for blessing, and anguish of heart, this is the conjunction chi plus the genitive singular of sunoke, plus the genitive singular of cardia. The conjunction chi is the connective chi, translated and then we have soon okay. S-U-N-O-C-H, long E, soon okay. Literally, soon okay means compression. Well, let's get a couple of points. One, it means distress, dismay, anguish. Distress, dismay, anguish. Two, Sunoke refers to mental pain. Mental pain, mental suffering. And for faithful communicators of the Word of God, when you see believers making bad decisions, when you see believers enter into the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, it really bothers the faithful communicator. We've seen Paul in Philippians. He communicated that there were believers that, well, he gave them the gospel. He taught them doctrine. He saw them start out fantastic. They were advancing. They were growing. And then they reacted and peeled off. And then he says, now I tell you, even with tears, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, and that their destiny is the sin unto death. And as Paul thinks about it, he knows these people. He's led them to the Lord. He's taught them Bible doctrine. And then he watches that. Well, that every pastor is a faithful communicator. He loves everyone he teaches with virtue love. But it still hurts when he sees believers make bad decisions and wind up enemies of the cross of Christ. And that's what Paul is describing here. So, one, phlipsis is pressure and intense suffering that is brought about by outward circumstances. Two, this is intense suffering for blessing that only the believer in spiritual adulthood is qualified to receive. Sunoke refers to mental suffering and mental pain. Three, this anguish was in Paul's cardia. This anguish was in Paul's cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. Heart. Not his pump, but in the right lobe of the soul. The target for the Word of God is the heart. The objective is to get the Word of God into your heart. And this anguish was in Paul's cardia, his heart. Four, the mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, the antagonisms of the believers toward the Apostle Paul broke his heart. Be real honest. It breaks your heart. Any faithful communicator, when believers have mental attitude sins toward you, sins of the tongue directed toward you, they hate you, they're antagonistic toward you, well, that breaks the heart of the communicator of the Word of God. And that's what he's describing here. The mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, the antagonisms of the believers in Corinth toward Paul broke his heart. Five, Paul loved all the believers in Corinth with great virtue love. But many of them hated Paul, had mental attitude sins toward Paul, sins of the tongue toward Paul, antagonistic toward Paul. But Paul loved all the believers in Corinth with great virtue love. So this is a very pretty special passage. By the way, Paul, this is not something he did publicly. This is something in the privacy of his own personal study. For out of great personal suffering and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. This is the aorist active indicative of grapho, plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun sue, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the genitive plural of dakruon, modified by the genitive plural of the adjective polus. Grapho. 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 Grapho is the verb that means to write. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. It looks at the writing of 2 Corinthians in its entirety. The active voice, Paul is the human author of 2 Corinthians. The indicative mood, declarative, viewing Paul's writing of 2 Corinthians through many tears. Now he's not with them face to face. He's writing 2 Corinthians from afar. So the indicative mood views Paul's writing of 2 Corinthians through many tears as absolute fact. The dative plural of the personal pronoun sue is you, referring to all of the believers in Corinth. The dative case is the dative of indirect object. The indirect object introduces the ones in whose interest and benefit something is given. Paul is writing this epistle, 2 Corinthians, for the benefit, for the interest and benefit of the believers in Corinth. So Paul wrote 2 Corinthians for the interest and benefit of the believers in Corinth and for the interest and benefit of all church-age believers. Then we have dia plus the genitive. Dia plus the genitive, instrumentality. You have that down in here in this congregation. Instrumentality, by means of, through, with. If you have dia plus the accusative, it's on account of, because of. But we have dia plus the genitive, means, instrument, by means of. And then palon dakruon. That's P-O-L-L-O-N, palon dakruon, D-A-K-R-U-long-O-N. Dakruon is the word for tears, polus many, through many tears. For out of great personal suffering, this is suffering for blessing that Paul is going through. For out of great personal suffering, suffering for blessing, and anguish of heart, I wrote 2 Corinthians to you for your interest and benefit with many tears. It broke his heart. The attitude of the believers in Corinth broke his heart. They were being influenced by false apostles, and we're going to see several chapters that deal with those false apostles. But it broke Paul's heart. One, when Paul thought of their attitude toward him, thought of their mental attitude sins toward him, their sins of the tongue toward him, their cosmic system function, it broke his heart. When Paul thought of their mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, their cosmic system functioned, it broke his heart. Two, he wept when he thought of their antagonisms toward him. He wept when he thought of their antagonisms toward him. Three, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians with many tears. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians with many tears. Four, Paul's tears were a matter of the privacy of his own priesthood. This was not a public display. Paul's tears were a matter of the privacy of his priesthood and not a public display. For out of great personal suffering and anguish of heart, I wrote 2 Corinthians to you for your interest and benefit with many tears. Not that you, that ye should be grieved. This is hina plus the aorist passive subjunctive of lupao with the objective negative uk. Now we've had this verb several times already, L-U-P-E, long O, lupeo. And lupeo literally means to grieve or to pain. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to become sad, to be sorrowful, or to be distressed. The objective negative, ook, slams the door. Hina plus the subjunctive introduces a negative purpose. So, corrected translation, absolutely not for the purpose that you should be made sorrowful. I'm not teaching this for that reason. I'm teaching this for you to come to your senses. Come to your senses. Rebound. Get back into fellowship. Get back into the filling of the Spirit. Get back into your spiritual life. Let's get cracking. Let's start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So one, Paul did not write 2 Corinthians for the purpose of causing them distress, sorrow, or grief. That's not the purpose. No pastor does that for that reason. At least faithful pastors. Paul did not write 2 Corinthians for the purpose of causing the Corinthians distress, sorrow, or grief. Two, rather, he wrote 2 Corinthians so that they could see how much he loved them with virtue love. That's what why he's writing 2 Corinthians. So that they could see how much he loved them with virtue love. And then we have, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. This is the conjunction Allah plus hina with the aorist active subjunctive of gnosko plus the accusative singular of agape with the definite article. Plus the accusative singular of the relative pronoun hos with the present active indicative of echo with the adverb perisoteros plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su. Allah. Strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. A-L-L-A. Allah is correctly translated, but now, Allah contrasts not writing 2 Corinthians to make them sorrowful with writing 2 Corinthians so that they might know his virtue love for them. That's what Allah contrasts. Allah contrasts not writing 2 Corinthians to make them sorrowful with writing 2 Corinthians so that they might know Paul's virtue love for them. That's why he's writing. Yeah, he's teaching with tough love. He loves them all with virtue love. He doesn't want to see any of them go over the cliff and crash and burn. He wants them to come to their senses, rebound, get back into fellowship, and start living the spiritual life. Get out of the darkness of the cosmic system and walk in the light. And then, gnosko. G-I-N long O-S-K long O. Gnosko. Gnosko means to come to know. To come to know. Hina plus the subjunctive introduces the purpose clause. For the purpose that they might come to know. And then, come for the purpose that they might come to know what? Agape. Oops. Oh, that was stupid. Did you catch that was stupid? Stupid? Did you catch that was stupid? No. I was the one stupid on that one. Agape is a special word for virtue love. And here it's with special emphasis on impersonal love for all. And that's what Paul has for every single believer in Corinth. Even for a believer that he wrote about in 1 Corinthians, the incestuous Corinthian. And Paul loved the incestuous Corinthian with virtue love. And he had to get, well, he had to exercise maximum spiritual authority. And he put the incestuous Corinthian, turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, the sin unto death. He did that out of maximum virtue love. Turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. And that incestuous Corinthian came close to dying the sin unto death, but he came to his senses and he rebounded. And as soon as he came to his senses and rebounded, and he got back into fellowship with God, God forgave him. God forgave him. God forgave the incestuous Corinthian. Paul heard that he had rebounded and got back into fellowship with God. Paul forgave him. God forgave him. Paul forgave him. But here are all these believers in Corinth and living in the cosmic system. They didn't forgive him and they wouldn't let him back in the church. They wouldn't let him back in. Because they had no virtue love. God forgave him. Paul forgave him out of virtue love function. But the church has no, most of the believers have no virtue love. They did not forgive him. Which virtue love, and then the verb echo, E-C-H long O, echo. Echo is the verb to have and to hold. Present tense, linear action start. I keep on having and holding. And modified by the adverb perisoteros. Looks like that in the Greek. That's P-E-R-I-S-S-O-T-E-R-O-S. Perisoteros. Perisoteros means to the greatest degree. To the greatest degree, or especially. And then the prepositional phrase eis plus the accusative of the personal pronoun sou, for you. Now this is a very powerful verse. I love 2 Corinthians 2 verse 4. Paul is so honest with them. Here all these believers have a horrible mental attitude toward Paul. And yet here is Paul with this fantastic virtue love for all of them. And you know, as positive believers growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, well, you'll see faithful communicators have to teach with tough virtue love from time to time. But you ought to see it. When that takes place, you ought to look at that communicator and say, he really loves us. If he didn't give a damn about us, he wouldn't take the time to teach us this. He really loves us. You know, that's the same way with parents training their children. Today, there's a lot of parents that don't give a damn about their kids. They don't give a damn about their kids. You can go out and do whatever you want. Use drugs. Have premarital sex. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Parents are usually functioning in the cosmic system themselves. They don't give a damn. But when you have parents that love their children, they're the authority in the home. They are the authority. And they don't want to see their children crash and burn. So they love them with, sometimes you got to love them with tough virtue love. For out of great personal suffering and anguish of heart, I wrote 2 Corinthians to you for your interest and benefit with many tears. Absolutely not for the purpose that you should be made sorrowful, but rather for the purpose that you might come to know the virtue love which I keep on having to the greatest degree for you. Is that not the cool verse? For I, out of great personal suffering and anguish of heart, I wrote 2 Corinthians to you for your interest and benefit with many tears. Absolutely not for the purpose that you should be made sorrowful, but rather for the purpose that you might come to know the virtue love which I keep on having to the greatest degree, perisoteros, to the greatest degree for you. One. Paul is a spiritually mature believer, has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Paul is a spiritually mature believer, has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Two, as arrogant and reversionistic as the believers in Corinth were, Paul loved them with virtue love. As arrogant and reversionistic as the believers in Corinth were, Paul loved them with virtue love. Three, 2 Corinthians 2:4 emphasizes Paul's impersonal love for all the believers in Corinth. All of them. 2 Corinthians 2:4 emphasizes Paul's impersonal love for all the believers in Corinth. Not just the, yeah, there are some great believers, there's some positive ones with humility, there's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Yeah, I love them with impersonal love. But also the ones living in the cosmic system. 4. Sometimes virtue love has to be expressed through discipline. Sometimes virtue love has to be expressed through discipline. That's how God operates with us. Hebrews 12:6. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. The Lord loves us with infinite virtue love. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. What's the basis of discipline? Love. Virtue love. That's the basis of discipline. Five. Paul doesn't love the Corinthians any less. He keeps on loving them with great virtue love to the greatest degree. All right. Now that brings us to the next paragraph. 2 Corinthians 2:5 through 11, and here comes the incestuous Corinthian back, this time in 2 Corinthians. Now the background for 2 Corinthians 2:5 through 11 is 1 Corinthians 5:1 through 5. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 5:1 through 5. Verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, which sexual immorality is of such a category and quality that it does not even occur among the heathen, the pagans, the Gentiles. Namely, that he keeps on having illicit sexual relations with his father's wife. Verse 2. In spite of this problem of incest, you have become arrogant. And shouldn't you rather have grieved with the result that the one who committed this deed might be removed, expelled out from the midst of you? That is, removed from the church. He should have been excommunicated. Verse 3. For on the one hand, though I am absent in body, on the other hand, because I am present in spirit, I have already judged as one who is present, the one who has so degenerately done this. Verse 4. By means of the name, the authority of our Lord Jesus, when you and my spirit are assembled together, accompanied with the power of the Lord Jesus, in order to hand over such a person to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, physical death, the sin unto death, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, the rapture. Now, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 5, he's exercising maximum spiritual authority. He turned the incestuous Corinthian over to Satan to destroy his flesh for physical death, the sin unto death. Apostles could do that. Relax, pastors can't. If I could, it would be kind of fun to play with once in a while. No, I'm just kidding. No. Apostles could do that. But when Paul did this, it was virtue love, the toughest of virtue love. But you know what? Once he exercised his spiritual authority and this tough discipline, turning him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, he came to his senses. The pain was so bad, so horrible, he came to his senses. He rebounded. He got back into fellowship with God, and God forgave him. And the word got to Paul, and Paul forgave him. Paul turned him over to Satan with virtue love. And after he rebounded and got back into fellowship with God, Paul forgave him out of virtue love. That's a very important characteristic of virtue love. Impersonal love for all is to forgive as Christ forgave. Forgive one another as Christ forgave you. That only will happen when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Impersonal love for all. So now in 2 Corinthians, now that this incestuous Corinthian has rebounded back in fellowship with God, now he wants to come back to church. Well, the arrogant, legalistic, reversionistic believers in Corinth wouldn't let him back in. They wouldn't let him back in. So Paul has to chew them out, and say, God's forgiven him. I've forgiven him. You need to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You need to love him with impersonal love and forgive and forget. And let him get back in and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And don't make him do low crawl through ground glass. That's legalistic believers. They will never forgive you for your sins or failures. They'll never do it. They want to see you crawl, low crawl through ground glass. They have no virtue love, none whatsoever. So this is a very important paragraph, 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 11. And so we will look at this, the incestuous Corinthian who has come to his senses and rebounded. Now, why can't you, rest of you Corinthians, come to your senses and rebound and grow up with virtue love and love him with impersonal love? All right. Father, we're constantly amazed at your grace to us. Thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping in your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.